Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Father, we pray that you would keep this morning your promise that whenever your word goes forth, it will not return to you void without accomplishing that for which you sent it. Grant it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Our scripture passage for this morning is found in Hebrews chapter 11, and it deals with faith. So naturally, I Googled it and found that the definition of faith has gotten a little bit muddled over the years. It's interesting when you Google the word faith, the kinds of things that come up, or if you Google people of faith or things like that, what the links that will pop up, titles like, everyone is a person of faith, which I guess is true if you think about it. Everybody believes in something. Islam, the empire of faith, was another link that popped up. Green faith popped up. I didn't know faith came in colors, but there you go. Another site that popped up. Can neuroscience cure people of faith in God? A little disconcerting, that one, isn't it? And then this one, the 50 smartest people of faith. I like that. I clicked on that one. Just had to see who they were, see if my name was on that list. Nope, it wasn't. Anyway, well, it's true, isn't it, that the word faith means different things depending upon the context in which we use it. Sometimes it means a religion. Sometimes it refers to the content, a set of beliefs, the content of what someone believes, like a statement of faith, a creed. But in our lesson for this morning, it means a personal faith, a subjective faith, because it is talking about your faith and mine and the faith of the believers to whom the author of the book of Hebrews was writing. Our lesson is found in Hebrews chapter 11, as I mentioned, verses 1 through 3, and here is what it says. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, which things are seen were not made of things which are visible. There's our passage, and it is the word of God upon which our meditation is based for the next few minutes. And in this passage, there are two parts, two realities that are listed. The first one says this: faith is the substance of things hoped for. I don't think in our day that has the meaning that it used to. That translation of substance, that word goes back to the early church fathers, and they would have said it something like this. They would say, those things which aren't yet a reality are given substance, or they are substantiated in our soul by faith, is what they would have said. Another translation uses the word confidence. I like that translation, confidence. But notice it is confidence in things that are hoped for. And that sounds like a kind of a dichotomy, doesn't it? Confidence sounds pretty sure and certain, and yet things hoped for doesn't sound very certain, does it? That sounds kind of uncertain. But once again, it goes back to our 21st century definition of things, and it means something different in our day to hope than it does back when this text was written. Just yesterday, I said to somebody, I hope it doesn't turn to winter just yet. And in our day, hope just means to wish something, doesn't it, more or less? I just wish that it wouldn't turn to winter yet. I may not get my wish, or maybe I will. We don't know, right? But in the Bible, when you see the word hope, it does not have that meaning at all. In the Bible, it means that you know something about the future. That is, you know something is going to happen, and now you're just waiting for it to come to pass. That's what the word hope means in the Bible. And that's why oftentimes in ancient languages, the word hope and the word wait are the same word. It means you're waiting for something that you know is going to happen. You're waiting for it to happen. That's what it means in the Bible whenever you see the word hope. It's not uncertain at all in Scripture. And so we could translate this passage something like this, that faith is confidence about things we are waiting for, the conviction of things not yet seen. Now, what are we waiting for? Well, could be many things. Might be an answer to prayer. God does answer prayers. We just mentioned that in the song that we, in the hymn that we sang. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is wait a while. But he always answers. And you can be confident while you are waiting after you pray that he is going to answer with an answer that is best for you. But what the author is really talking about here, really, what he's really referring to is eternal life. We don't see it yet. We own it. We don't see it. It's ours. We don't see it. We don't experience it. That's the second part here about what faith is, the conviction of things not seen. Conviction means that you're absolutely convinced of something, doesn't it? We're all convinced of some things, but most of those things aren't faith, because we're not convinced in those kinds of things, those kinds of matters, about things that we do not see. But faith is the conviction of things not seen. Are you convinced of some things that are not seen? Do atoms exist? You don't see them. Electrons, protons, neutrons, those things exist. We don't see them. Unless you have a scanning, tunneling microscope, then you can at least see the atoms, but you can't see the protons, neutrons, or electrons. But are you convinced of things that aren't seen? Do you believe angels exist? Then you're convinced of things that aren't seen. The devil. Then you're convinced of things that are not seen. Right? But it goes deeper than angels and demons. What the author to the Hebrews meant is this: faith is the conviction that what God says he did, he really did. And it's the conviction that what he says he will do, he really will do. That's what the author of the Hebrews is talking about. When God tells us in Genesis, our text goes on to say this, that God created the universe with the word of his mouth, I'm convinced of it, because God says it. When God says that every sin that you ever committed was washed away, it really is. It was washed away by the suffering and death of Jesus. When he says that those sins have been blotted out like a thick cloud, he really means it. When he says that they are removed from you as far as the east is from the west, faith says, I believe it. But then faith not only says, I believe it, but it also says this: that is my hope. Right? That's my hope for eternal life. The blood shed for sinners is my hope of heaven. Now, somebody here might be saying, well, you know, because I've said this at times, maybe everybody has said this at times, but you know, I don't have any trouble believing that it's true for somebody else, but sometimes, man, sometimes when I look at my sin, I mean, you don't know what I've done, right? Maybe somebody is saying that this morning. I'll tell you something. The voice that is telling you that is the voice of Satan. How do I know that? Because that voice is diminishing the work of Christ. See, you don't have the capability as a mere human to out-sin the grace of God, right? So don't diminish the grace of Christ by saying, I'm the guy that's not forgivable. No, it's just not true. You don't have the capability of sinning so much that God's grace cannot remove it, that his blood can't cover it. The Bible says that he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. I think that would be you and me included in that statement. And so let that be your confidence. Believe it, my friends, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.